Shabbat Shalom. You've been such great singers, I want to engage you a little bit more with a question. So listen, because I'm going to ask for your answers. Anyone, all of you, feel free to answer. Why don't we blow the shofar on Shabbat? What's your best guess, Jackie?
What is a instrument?
Musical instrument. Can't do it on Shabbat. All right. Don't know where the guitar fits in there, but I like it. Ed? We shouldn't schlep. I like not schlepping on Shabbat. That's a great answer, too. Other answers. Why not on Shabbat? Joni?
Creating music with something that is invented by God.
Creation. Not good. Invented by God. The shofar, not necessarily for that purpose. I love it. Other reasons. Julie?
Brings joy to something that's already joyful.
Joy to something. I like your wording. Joy to something already joyful. That is beautiful. Yeah. Work. It's hard to blow the shofar. Absolutely. Any other answers to the question? Yeah. Michelle. I didn't plant you, but you're right on. I'm glad that I'm going to end with you, because you were excellent at answering the question. Yeah, it's Parshat Emor, and in Parshat Emor, there's a lot of mitzvot, and I'll talk about them in a second, but it's in this Parsha that we receive the instruction not to blow the shofar on Shabbat. The High Holy Days, which is when we blow the shofar, have holy built into them. And the Torah teaches us Shabbat is holier. You don't need it. So we're not to interrupt the sanctity of this day of rest with a disruptive noise. And yes, the shofar was the call to war. No need to use that on Shabbat. Parshat Emor begins with the specific rules and regulations of the priests, as well as the laws about what we're supposed to put into our bodies. The laws of kashrut are here. The text continues with an in-depth look at the laws of our holidays and special times, and it concludes with the punishments that would be brought to those who break the mitzvot of trust and relationships. It's a pretty solid parsha. It's got the laws of the priests and defines the different mitzvot about what we're supposed to do publicly versus what we're supposed to do privately. In chapter 23, verse 24, we receive the laws for Rosh Hashanah. The holiday that now actually begins our year actually happens on the first day of the seventh month. And the Torah describes this festival as a day of complete rest, a sacred occasion commemorated with loud blasts. Sacred and loud don't necessarily go together in my mind. I don't know about yours. If we say sacred, we say holy, we think shul, we think quiet, we think It says, you should not work at your occupation. Oops. And does that mean I get the day off for Rosh Hashanah? I like it. No sermons this year, friends. We'll go to the spa. All right, we're on it. And you should bring a gift to the Lord. It sounds almost like the Rosh Hashanah we celebrate today. We stop what we're doing, and it feels a bit like Shabbat with rest. And we blow the shofar nice and loud. Except this verse in the Talmud is used as the proof text for why we cannot blow the shofar if one of our holidays falls on Shabbat. Why? Because Shabbat, according to the Torah, is already called Mikra Kodesh. It's already a holy happening. It doesn't need anything added to it to remind us that something holy is happening. So according to the Talmud, those two words in our parsha this week, Mikra Kodesh, holy happening, mean you don't blow the shofar. Why am I fixated on the shofar so far from Rosh Hashanah? Not as far as you think from Rosh Hashanah. I'll be honest. I really wanted to talk about abortion tonight. And for the simple reason that I see part of my job as a rabbi as explaining our world through a Jewish lens. But it's hard to talk about such a visceral and divisive topic without letting my own view on the matter get in the way or putting you on edge as you enter into a holy space. Over the past week, we've heard a lot of shofar blasts. Loud, piercing, rallying calls from all sides of the issue. If you open Facebook or even any news site, and it's nothing but Alabama, shofar blast! Abortion, shofar blast! Women's bodies, shofar blast! Innocent life, shofar blast! It goes on, it's in your face, it's everywhere we turn. I can't even watch the news without thinking about it. But it's Shabbat. It's time to pause, to recharge, and regroup. As with holiday celebrations, we need to prepare for our next steps. We don't prepare for Passover by simply arriving at the Seder and being like, hey, it's Pesach. I wish we did. But we don't. We stop. We clean. We organize. We shop. We prepare. We do some thinking. We look through the Haggadah. We think about what we want to talk about. There is time and energy put into our preparation. And the same is true today. It's time to not blow our shofar. It's Shabbat. Yes, I know you could make the argument that there's not a moment to spare, and on either side of this significant moment, we cannot back down. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that there is no urgency. I'm not suggesting that this conversation is less important than we think it is. What I'm saying is, a nonstop, in-your-face shofar blast is exhausting. Ask any of our shofar blowers, Glenn Koblenz or Ellen Montrose or Liza Milner, or anyone who provides shofar for us during the holiday season. You stop and take a breath between each blast that we give. And more importantly, if we continue to blow the shofar without resting, it doesn't give us time to reflect. We don't have the space to pause and think about what we've heard. It doesn't provide space for discussion, only angry yelling at one another. Our shofar service is filled with different cries. Tkia, Shvarim, Trua, Tkia Gedolah. They're long, and our shofar is short. The sound is broken, like the cry of a human, and steady, like our wail. And each blast requires breath before we could move on to the next phase. We must breathe between our blasts. So instead, I think we should use Shabbat exactly as the way it was intended for us to use it. I know we want to push our values, our morals, our point of views. We want to question. We want to research. We want to fight. We want to scream. We want to yell. We want to type angry responses to the people who are not believing with us. I want to do it too. But it's Shabbat. This is Shabbat. It's our pause between the cries of Shvarim, Truah, Tkia. This is our breath. A moment of calm before the storm of the world. And if we're going to wish each other Shabbat Shalom, I think this is the week, and I'm not a yoga practitioner, but Om really focuses us. I see you as human. If we're going to say Shabbat Shalom, we need to take that last syllable of shalom and breathe in the peace, breathe in the pause, Breathe in the moment where the divine in me can see the divine in you as we are all created as creatures of God. And breathe that love and compassion into our world. Shabbat Shalom.